for your holy presence just to enter each heart this morning, God. God, we just lay down all of our burdens, God, and just look towards you. Happy Father's Day to the fathers out there. Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head down, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day to some of you. So, all right. It is awesome to just be in worship, to join praise today. That's what we do. We open in praise because we just want to acknowledge our God is so awesome, so good, so worthy of the very best that we have to give him. And we do that in song. We know heaven is filled with music that's directed to the throne, him, the one on the throne himself, and so that's we just get to join that together today. I want to welcome you watching online, and wish you could be here with us today, but we're just blessed to worship. So let's pray together. God, we thank you. Thank you for your presence with us. God, on a Father's Day, this is, we automatically just default to the human fathers here on earth, Lord, and our good experiences and our bad experiences. And Lord, even for a moment, if we could just acknowledge there's a Father in heaven who has a perfect love and a perfect nurturing. And God, we just exalt you today. We want this to be a day that glorifies you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's continue our worship.
Thank you. in the presence of my enemies. Praise hallelujah. Louder than the unbelief.
Let's pray together. God, you're so faithful. Thank you for being our God. The Hosanna, God save us. It's the cry. And Lord, it doesn't matter how long we've been walking with you. Our cry stays the same. Lord, save us. By what you did on the cross, how you came out of the grave, your ascension, and your the absolute certainty that you're returning. And Jesus, our hope is in you. All of our salvation, God, belongs in you. We place in your hands. It's too big for us, but it's not for you, and we bless you. Father, we thank you today, God, for giving us so much more than just a good example, but for literally being our Father in heaven and providing for us, protecting us, loving us, just exuding joy over us, speaking every hope and good word and promise that you have, God. You speak those over us, and we thank you for that. God, today we get to honor fathers here. And Lord, so many of us have incredible experiences with our own dads, and we recognize that many others don't have those at all. And God, somehow we still are able to honor fathers in all of this. And Lord, there are others, loved ones, who this is the first Father's Day without the father on earth. And others that this is going on decades of being without their father here on earth. And Lord, just with all the sensitivity of that, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for fathers. And God, it would do the world a wonder if just fatherhood would be one of the greatest badges of honor that men would carry. God, that we would love so boldly and fiercely and protect our loved ones, God. And we ask that you would put a blessing on fathers today, God, especially throughout your church, God, all around this world. God, that Christian fathers would just love so fiercely. Give us just the joy of that, and the eyes that would look to you, God. We thank you, Jesus, and bless you. And Lord, one of our own fathers here got to celebrate yesterday the wedding and marriage of his daughter. And we thank you for the Burks, and Lord, for Kate and Russ. We speak such blessing over that couple as they, well, I guess this is day two now of marriage. And Lord, would you bless them with so much joy, God, and just it's so incredible and encouraging to see both of their hearts are so dedicated to you. God, I just thank you for Russ, who's this godly man, and we would pray for this couple to honor you, to love you all the days of their lives, God. And we just thank you for this celebration that we're all a part of in that, because she's family. And Jesus, as we look in your word today, come Holy Spirit, teach us all there is that we could understand from you, God. We love you. We pray, Holy Spirit, bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You guys can have a seat. If you forgot, like me and like my wife, to actually grab a communion cup, you're welcome to go do that right now if you want. Otherwise, you can wait till this part's over too. So maybe y'all don't forget that like I do, but that's not the first time this has happened to me. So I say that passively, like it happened to me, not that I'm responsible for it. But so it is Father's Day, and Father's Day is, it's since I was a little kid, I love Father's Day. I love my dad. I noticed there was survey's results came out just this week, and you might have seen them. It was by Survey Powerhouse, Omaha Steaks. I don't know. But anyway, they interviewed 2,000 Americans with living fathers. And one of the things it was filled with all kinds of pretty fun stuff. But do you know what, take a guess on this, what year do at least 2,000 Americans average out to start becoming their father? What age do you think people do that at? Oh, I don't know who said 35, but that was real close. 37. And I thought that was kind of old too, but then I'm like, well, it's probably not when you have an infant. It's probably when your kids start to get minds of their own, and then you revert into like what you remember, you know. And so I thought that was really interesting. But it was just fascinating. So this survey talked about like how many now adults, but really have a pride in grilling because of their dad, or a pride in mowing or handiwork. There's just the whole nobody touched the thermostat, tracing that back to dad. So muting commercials, which I've totally done. and it's, you know, just some of those thoughts on it. But it was interesting because it said over 2/3 of the respondents feel closer to their father with every passing year. And especially this year with the COVID, the whole coronavirus deal, it's accelerated that for so many because they've reached out far more often, they've made phone calls, they think about their parents, and so there's just, you know, a growing attachment. The thing that it probably was, I just thought was the best was, you know, like some of the things, like what do you get your dad for Father's Day, which I don't know what to give my dad for Father's Day, but the people were asked, what do you think your dad wants most? And you know the top two? Number one, an ice cold beer. Number two, a thick, juicy steak. Third was actually a glass of whiskey, so I don't know, there's something going on. But that's what we actually think our dads want more than anything else. Pretty incredible, right? So, but we're gonna see something today as we go in Scripture. The prophet Jeremiah is gold. You know, I know Isaiah gets all the accolades, and he should. The book of Isaiah is oftentimes called the fifth gospel because there's so much Jesus, you know, written in like 700 BC. It's just incredible. But it oftentimes he overshadows Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And Jeremiah is just rich. And so we're going to look at the first chapter of Jeremiah today, and we're going to just pull out of this, because in this chapter you see God the Father as a father. And typically Jeremiah 1's an absolute favorite chapter for me in the Bible. And I usually would read it from Jeremiah's perspective. Because I kind of like, yeah, Jeremiah, like on something he says. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. But I want us to actually kind of invert that today and look at it from the father's perspective. So we're going to jump in today. This is Jeremiah chapter 1. The first couple verses are just like an intro, so I'm going to start at verse 4. And there's three, we're going to do this in like three chunks today, all right? And the first one's really short, so the whole chapter is short. But it says this, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." And in this, the word of the Lord, God spoke to Jeremiah, to his child Jeremiah, and said, look, I've set you apart. I've consecrated you. I've made you whole. I've already like decided, like this is a destiny for you. This is what's happening. And Jeremiah, of course, has got to be thinking, you know, a prophet to the nations, you know? Like, they didn't even travel back then. Like, that was, like, there were no flights, and you just kind of stayed close to home. That was the right thing. And here's God speaking this into Jeremiah. And it's interesting because we're gonna see how the Father does this, and then we're gonna consider a godly father today. What is a father's purpose here today? We're going to pull them all right out of Jeremiah 1. And this really leads into the first point, which is that a father nurtures his child by calling him into his destiny. A father nurtures his child by calling him into his destiny. This is what God the Father did with Jeremiah. He flat out said, look, from long ago, I've set you apart, right? When you were in the womb, I already knew. And it is pretty awesome. So an earthly father today has this role to call destiny into their children's lives, which is pretty incredible. But how might that actually look? Because I could say whatever I want for my kids. I want this kid to turn out like this, so I'm going to just start speaking it. That's a real temptation, but it's not the right thing. But there's a couple things that I think we can do. And one, the father who does this, who nurtures his child in this way, he inquires of the Lord and prophesies over his children. So if I'm going to call out the destiny in my children, I'm going to inquire of the Lord so that it's not just my will, but it's the Lord's will. And what does that mean to inquire of the Lord? Here, one of the greatest things I think a father can do for his children is pray for his children individually. Right? We pray collectively that we all get along and nobody gets hurt, but we pray individually for each child. And it's not just protect, and help and save. It's also listening. It's that we would listen on behalf of our children. And so we would pray and inquire of the Lord for our children. And as the Lord speaks, we'd speak those words to our sons and our daughters. That's the prophesying aspect. That as you're praying and you can say, wow, hey, you know, speak to one of my kids, praying for you today and the Lord just showed me this image for you and or gave me this word of hope for you. And those are so important, not just to pray, but to keep it to yourself, but to share that. And it's really important. Another way, if that's just like so far out there, one of the greatest ways to inquire of the Lord is to read the written word, to read scripture and share the truths that we learn from that and speak those into our kids' lives. It's not a downspeak. That's the thing with prophecy. A lot of times we have this thought like it's almost like you're gonna go to hell if you do this, or you're gonna prophesying, if you really truly look at prophesying specifically in the New Testament, it's upbuilding. It's encouraging. It's speaking God's word to bring somebody up, not to pull down. And it's important. And so a father just has this incredible opportunity to inquire of the Lord and speak these words, prophesy into their children. It's such a way to call a child into his or her destiny. Sorry about my pronouns, guys. I decided against the slashes, okay? So everybody's a single boy. But also, he engages their interests, and he helps develop those interests. Every child has interests in things. And what's so important for an earthly father, like if you want to call your child into your destiny, is take what are they already passionate about? What do they love? And talk with them about that on their terms. You know, like my son loves math and he loves social studies and history. I mean, loves all these things, and it's like statistics, and he's really good with current events and thinking through odds. And I'm like, have you ever thought about actuarial science? And he's like, what is that? And it's like, you know, we just talk about different opportunities and why we're trying to grab different interests they have. Some of my kids, they love to golf now. And it's like, that's awesome. And it's like just to spend those times in them. But you speak out destiny when you take your kids' passions and you sow into those with them. But the other thing then, and maybe my last one on this point, is not just their interests, but that godly father observes his kids' strengths and highlights them to his children. Because sometimes, you know, we have passions and we might be really talented at something else, but we've just never tried it. And I think it's a father's role to say, hey, do you know what, I've noticed you have this really great gift set. You would be really effective at doing this. And I'm a big fan of college football. Follow it probably a little closer than most people, and there are so many late bloomers. It's interesting. Major universities will take a flyer. You have a limited number of scholarships you can give. It'll take a flyer on this freak athlete who's played 1 year. You know, and so he has no statistics. He has no, why? Because they see potential in him, even though he's never put it together. He didn't play until his senior year, but he's given it a shot, and he ends up, they think he could be really good. It's that whole idea of like seeing a strength in somebody and believing they can be that. And it's just helping them. I've especially as a youth pastor, I've shared many times, I will never talk anybody into going in ministry, but I will, I think I'm obligated to say, if I see something in someone, I'll say, have you ever considered ministry? And we've had, I don't know, never counted, a lot, several dozen students go into ministry now. And it's I just want them to know, like, hey, you should consider that. If I stay silent on it, they're probably not going to consider it very much, right? And so just to speak that as a possibility for them. But I just think fathers have to observe their children's strengths. We live in a world that's so focused on weaknesses and what we do wrong, and maybe what we're not good enough, and we have to bring that up so we're better balanced. And there's value in all of that, but at the same time, like, God actually gives each of us things we're really good at, naturally. And I think a father's role for speaking destiny into their child is to highlight those things that they're really good at. So the second passage we're going to go is that we only looked at two verses so far, and God just spoke to Jeremiah, said, I've got it figured out for you. I'm going to call you to be a prophet to the nations. And this is in a very small town kid, just a few miles outside of Jerusalem, and, you know, his eyes are bugging out, right? So the next few verses are this. Right after God said that to him, Jeremiah replied and said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. And he's, the Hebrew in for that is, essentially, it's the understanding that he's still dependent, like financially dependent on his parents. So we don't know how old. I mean, it's doubtful he's probably 6, but he's probably 12, maybe 13, okay? Like, he's young, and God's given this to him, and Jeremiah says, whoa, I don't even know, I'm not trained for this. I don't know how to speak like this. I'm just a youth, meaning I'm not even out of the house yet to think about going to the nations, right? But he says this in verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say, quote, I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of them, for I'm with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand, and he touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. See, I've set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and plant. And that's those last three lines there are all about the prophesying message that Jeremiah will have. It's going to be a lot of law, a lot of doom coming, but then to build and to plant is to encourage. And so the whole setting for Jeremiah is, it's rough. Israel's long gone as a nation. Judah remains, but only for a couple more decades. I think Jeremiah started with Josiah, but then quickly the rest of the kings that Jeremiah served under were rotten. They were completely against the Lord, against the Lord's will. And so Jeremiah and his ministry, he served for over 40 years as a prophet, and it was really, really hard. He was persecuted. There were, you'll see if you're reading through Jeremiah just how difficult it was. And he's oftentimes called the weeping prophet. I saw a note recently that said it's way more accurate to call him the persevering prophet, because he kept persevering, which is pretty incredible. But in this, the Lord says, look, I got this, man. I totally have this. You're the one I'm calling. You can do this. You know, when Jeremiah is thinking, I'm just a youth, I'm not even out of the house yet, God says, yeah, you got this. And that leads us into the second point for fathers, because our Heavenly Father does this, and this is what we're called to do as well. Father assures his children that they have what it takes. John Eldridge is an author, Christian author, and I've he's written a couple of really good books. I remember him, one of the things he said was, every man's greatest fear in life is not being good enough. Like not succeeding and not being a success. And it's a fear that it's from the beginning of time when you're a little boy and you're constantly looking for approval. And it goes older when you're in high school and a lot of eyes are on you and you go off to college and you make your way or you're trying to earn a living, you get married, but he, writing for men, just says every man's greatest fear is not being good enough, not having what it takes. And a father has to let a child know, you got it. You got what it takes. In fact, every child, male, female, longs for their father's approval. It's just a reality, is that we want our father's approval. We want our mother's approval, but this is Father's Day today. We want our father's approval, and it's from early on, and it never goes away. And it's interesting in that, because how does a father then, how does he like try to help his kids not like just live for his approval? And it's like, you know, I think there are things we can do for this. And one of them is, you know, while we celebrate successes, always, always call out those intangibles, the character traits, the integrity, the faithfulness, the kindness, the way he opens a door for his mom or for his sister. Just all those little things that aren't about performance, but about something going on in the inside. Those are the things we want to pull out. Recently, Nate, he's had three pretty significant awards recently that were just really awesome. And he worked really hard for the two of them. He didn't know were awards. Like, he just worked really hard, but he got three awards. And it's like, well, we have to honor that as a family. And so we are so proud of him in that. We've told him that. It's awesome. But that's not even the great part. Like, he didn't even know two of those things were awards. None of us did. What I wanted to pull out in him more than anything was like his hard work. He was exuding a work ethic without any thought of a reward. Those are the types of intangibles that we want to celebrate even more than the achievement. The achievements are great and we have to acknowledge them and celebrate them. But it's those other things that aren't quantifiable, right? That when you pull out and say, these are character traits, that this is what a champion does, bud, and I'm so proud of you in that. And it's just been, like, we want to celebrate that, because I already know every child is looking, are you impressed? It just happens, because they want the approval of their parents. But we want to call them to something besides the performance or besides the achievement. And the other thing is the father who assures his child that your child is good enough. You got what it takes. You just do. Just like God spoke to Jeremiah. Jeremiah wasn't equipped at all, right? At least on paper. I mean, he was a kid living at home to be a prophet to the nations and to literally speak to kings who could get rid of him at any moment, right? Just the whole thought of that, right? But God said, I got this. I'm gonna equip you for this. You're good enough. You're the one who's destined to do this, right? Just like an earthly father points his child to the promises of God, all of the promises of God, and how they affect us. The promise of salvation, the promise that the Holy Spirit's with us. What about the promise that we're two or more gathered, so I'll be with you? You think about, and this isn't just for children who live in the home. I think about like some of you might have like 40-year-old children, and this is good, but like those promises never go away. So if two or more gathered, what does that say? That's a promise that God gives. And what does that mean? It means that wherever you're at in life, child, you need to be with other believers. You have to. We just read, we just kind of laughed about the confusion of Ecclesiastes of the band. And it's like, yeah, that's weird, man. Right after Proverbs, which is this, and then Ecclesiastes. Yeah. But in Ecclesiastes 4, where he says, two are better than one, for if one falls down, the other helps him up. Right? There's the whole a threefold cord. It's that whole passage. Why? It's because God clearly desires us to be in fellowship and communion with other believers. Like, that's a critical part. And we want to speak those words. Those are promises that come from the Lord. They affect our destiny. You know? Yeah, I'm sure I've done this before, but we always hear the phrase, you are what you eat. You are who you hang out with. You just are. God says that. Where two or more, right? And so it's just that we would assure our child they have what it takes. Give them the promises of God. Let them know that in Christ, and when they're surrounded by others who love the Lord, like, this is possible. This is their destiny coming out. The last section we're looking at here is the end of this. It's two little lessons that God teaches. Basically, he's going to just prove, I told you so, to Jeremiah. And so, verse 11, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, I see an almond branch. Then the Lord said to me, you've seen well, for I'm watching over my word to perform it. Okay. I'm sure Jeremiah's like, this is obscure, but Lord, all I see is an almond branch. And the Lord's like, exactly. And what would mean nothing to Jeremiah would get pulled together, because the word for almond branch and the word for watching over that the Lord quotes, one word is shoked and the other is shaked. Like it's a play on words that the Lord uses, which is very, very common in the Old Testament. But it's the whole idea that the Lord's like, see, you thought that was nothing, but I'm watching over you. Like, exactly. And it's just an assurance that God is with him. And then he does it a second time. And this is verse 13. The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. And so just to understand that, a boiling pot, it's tipping, it's facing away from the north, coming out of the north onto Israel, or really onto Jerusalem at this point, and it's tipping with boiling water. And that represents for them the wrath, God's wrath. When there's a boiling pot, it's the wrath of God that's pouring out, and it's coming from the north, So this is Jeremiah's time. Like, this one would make a lot more sense to him right off the bat, because so Assyria and Babylon were the two enemies that came and sacked Israel, and then Babylon was about to sack Judah. Well, they'd already sacked Judah. They're about to sack Jerusalem, okay? And so even though, like, they're out to the east, kind of the northeast, because of the land, they didn't march straight in from the east. They actually had to go way out of their way, because they had all their equipment, all their chariots, right, all their stuff. And they always came from the north. And so the evil, or in this case, it's the wrath of God that's using these nations, always comes from the north. And so when Jeremiah sees this boiling pot that's tipping from the north coming down on him, he's probably got a pretty good idea what this is. And this is going to be a significant part of his ministry. Remember, this is just the calling of Jeremiah as like a, whatever, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old. And it says, verse 14, then the Lord said to me, out of the north, disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I'm calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord, and they shall come, every one shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. I'll declare my judgment. This is a terrible word. Like, it's not something Jeremiah would want to hear, But Jeremiah was given the vision from the Lord, and the Lord's confirming it, right? And so verse 16, I'll declare my judgments against them, for all their evil is forsaking me. They've made offerings to other gods. They worship the work of their own hands. But you, dress yourself for work. That's like gird your loins. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, the people of the land, like virtually everyone else. They'll fight against you, Jeremiah, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. And in this, you see the Father in heaven. He's put a destiny, called a destiny into his child, Jeremiah. He's told him, you've got what it takes. You can do this. I'm going to be with you. And then he assures him, right, by these promises that it, yes, indeed. He's given multiple words and confirmed, and this is just the over-the-top evidence that God is going to walk. God the Father is going to walk with his child Jeremiah as Jeremiah fulfills this destiny. And so the last little lesson for us in this is, again, about a father's purpose. And a father fulfills his promises to his children. So important. A child's greatest letdowns in life are from broken promises. Right? It's tough. And those broken promises can be spoken promises. They can be desertion. It can be just any time a vow or a promise is broken. It hurts and it scars deeply. We have to understand that. We don't live in shame about the past, but we need to know that going forward. So this godly father makes promises he can keep. I've learned the hard way. What seems so little to me are not little to others, to my children. If a child, I've learned this the hard way. Like a child would say, hey, could we play catch today? Yes, I love playing catch. Are you kidding me? I love it, right? So I'm like, yes, can't wait. Let me finish my work before play. So let me finish some stuff first, okay? Or dad, could we watch an episode of Monk? You know, because I love Monk. And I'm like, yeah, totally. And but then life gets busy and I don't do it. And sometimes I didn't even think about it. And Andrea would come to me and she'd be, Brad, you promised that you would do this with your child today or this with your child. And in my mind, initially, it was like, oh, yeah, that was such a little thing. Like, what's the, it's not. even if in a father's eyes it's a little thing, it's not. Because broken promises crush a child. They just crush. And so the easy thing would be to never make any promises, but that's not right either. It's we make promises that we know we're going to keep. And we honor those promises. It's really important to do that. Our Father in heaven made a lot of really difficult promises. Instead of just backing off on all promises, he kept making promises. This is a God of promise that we have. We're called to make promises. We're called to honor those promises. That's what this is about. And the last point on this, a father fulfills his promises to his children, is a father would point his children or reveal his model of the promise keeper as God himself. God the Father in Genesis, do you remember this? Genesis 9-ish. But after the flood, he made a promise to Noah. He said, I promise I'll never flood the land again with water. In fact, I'll give you a sign of the rainbow. The rainbow is a glorified, no matter what else it means anywhere else, it is a glorified symbol of God's love and his promise for his people. We should honor that rainbow, love that rainbow. That's what that means. right? Jesus made promises that the grave, he would be dead for 3 days and he would rise again, that this temple, speaking of himself, would be knocked down and built back up in 3 days. Guess what? He did it. He fulfilled an impossible promise to keep by anyone else, but he fulfilled it. Jesus made a promise. I'm coming back. You can rest assured God's never broken a promise before, and he's certainly not breaking that one either. I want to pray for fathers today. I think it's such a day to honor men who, I'm always sensitive on Father's Day because historically the church loves mothers on Mother's Day and tells them what a great job they've done, and then on Father's Day berates the men for being lousy fathers, and this is what you need to do better. That's the last thing I want to do. So I want to bless fathers. I think it's a gift from the Lord. I think every man that's in here is a father or watching with us. God has great intentionality in making you a father. And for those of you who are not fathers yet, same thing, that day's coming. And that the Lord would just give you such joy in that. So let's pray together. God, we bless you today, and we thank you for the fathers in our lives. We thank you, Jesus, that we have a promise keeper of a father who's never broken a promise to us, who's always seen our destiny and called it out, who's always given us hope, who's always given us joy and love. Jesus, bless this day. Bless our dads. Bless our loved ones. Bless our families. God, bless communion with others. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, that's awesome. Thank you. We're gonna receive our offerings at the time. I'm in, I guess, autopilot. Encourage you if to give your tithes. You can obviously, there's a plate in the back on your way out, or you can go online. On the top right of our website, there's a giving tab that's safe and secure. So we are going to sing the benediction. So would you please stand for that? Thanks.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let's pray together. God, we bless you today. Thank you for being our God of peace and strength and hope. Lord, we come to the Father and we want to approach you and say, look, we've fallen short. You're a God you've never lowered your standards for us. You've maintained perfect standards. And when you saw that we couldn't keep them, you intervened in this world by sending your Son to this place to make a way that our own iniquities, our own failures, wouldn't keep us away from you. And Jesus, it's your blood that you spilled on the cross that saves us. And we acknowledge our sin. We acknowledge we need you, Jesus, to be forever united to the Father. And so we confess our sins to you today. We ask you, have mercy on us, to forgive us. And that's an inner renewal of us. And it's a restoration to a place of perfection, simply because, Jesus, you died in our place. You paid the penalty of sin. Therefore, we remain sinless upon your forgiveness. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We love you. Together we pray to you, O Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord, upon your confession, is quick to forgive and restore you. And so I want to announce to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Awesome. All right, if you would pick up your little communion packet and we'll tear the top layer off, you can get your bread. It was on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the loaf and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and eat, this is my body broken for you. Friends, take and eat the body of Christ. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. After he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples and said, take and drink this cup. It's a new covenant, my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Friends, we take and drink. May this gift, the body and blood of Christ, give you strength and endurance to life everlasting. Amen. May God's peace just be upon you, knowing that we just engaged with Jesus himself, and he comes to us and restores us, and your sins are fully forgiven. Let joy and hope fill your souls as we worship together.
The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Let's sing amen. May his favor be and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you, and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children.
God's peace be with you today. A couple quick announcements. One, we're so glad you're here. Thanks for worshiping in person and just being in God's presence together. It's awesome. For your presence is blessing other people here, so which is awesome. Again, offerings, tithes, you can give online or you can give right in the back. Would you take your it feels so weird in church saying this, but would you take your trash with you, please? So no one else has to touch it, I know. Also, we have Wednesday night prayer this week here, 7 o'clock. Next Sunday is, I believe it's our last Sunday for Sunday morning Bible studies. We take July, August off, so those meet on Zoom next Sunday. And then Pivot's our mission of the month, and so please pray for Pivot Ministries, bless them. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. May he work in you what's pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful Father's Day.